I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. By way of invitation this evening, and we normally have a fairly short talk on this fifth Sunday singing, but I would like to spend just a few moments talking about the cost of discipleship as related here in Matthew chapter 10. And I would like to remind you of the context of the chapter. Our Lord is giving instructions to His apostles in what is referred to as the limited commission. His instructions were not to go to the Gentile, but as stated in verse 6 of the text, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So this first commission, this first instruction to go and preach the message of the kingdom was given to the Jews alone. But these individuals themselves were Jews. So we have the disciples who were Jews, and they were told basically to go to their own countrymen. And you would think that they would have a ready reception as they were preaching this message of the goodwill of God toward man to their countrymen. But that was not the case at all. In fact, He gave them warning that they would be sorely persecuted as a result of their efforts to share the gospel with their countrymen. I want you to notice in verses 16 through 21 the description that He gave of what they would face, what they had to look forward to as they heeded His instructions to go and preach. He said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." Now, as you note, this directive to go and to preach the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel was one that was fraught with danger, because men would reject that message. Men reject that message even today. We would think do well to recognize the cost of discipleship is no different today than it was in the first century. And as it is no different, and there is that specter of persecution that is always above each of us as we seek to pursue our lives as children of His, we need to count the cost. We need to recognize the commitment that it will take for us to be pleasing in the sight of our Lord. You'll notice in verse 34 of the text, as He kind of gives a conclusion or summary statement of what will happen to those who are Christians, He says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And that is the divisive nature of the gospel of our Lord. It brings peace to those who accept it. It brings reconciliation with God, but it will bring division because some will not be willing to accept the truths of the gospel. So, in that, you look at the expression, the instructions that are given, you think to yourself, why would anyone want to go and to risk their lives for the preaching of truth? Well, of course, in verse 22, the statement at the end of that verse says, "He who endures to the end will be saved," and that gives us that primary motivation, that recognition that despite what might happen on earth, despite the fact that our preaching could cause us to lose our family, it could cause us to come into conflict with individuals, even to lose our lives, that if we indeed stay faithful to God, we will rejoice in heaven after this life is over. And that, of course, is intimated in verse 22. But I do want you to note verses 26 through 28 in this particular vein as well, where He says, "Do not fear them." He's telling them not to fear the individuals that He just said would probably or that might kill them as a result of their proclamation of truth. But He says, "Don't fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach it on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This is why we ultimately do not fear, because though men indeed may take our lives, we have on our side the one in whom we can trust and the one who guarantees for us that home eternal because of our faithfulness. And so ultimately, the worst that man can do is to persecute us even to death. But God is faithful and He is just in His promises toward us, and has promised us that indeed we will be found, if we are found faithful, we will obtain that eternal home. In verses 29 through 31, the final point I want to make, we read here, as he's talking about the protection afforded us by God, the realization that God cares for us, that we are of value to Him. It's an expression that is found in a number of places, but here we are told, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will?" Understand that God is aware of all of these things. There are individuals, in fact, some of the founders of our nation had a deist view of God. They had the idea that God, in effect, was the great watchmaker, and He made the universe, and He wound it up, and got it started, and then He left, and that He has absolutely no concern or awareness of His creation. But the Bible very clearly reveals that He does, even with regard to these small things, even with regard to a sparrow. But He says, "The very hairs of your hand are all numbered," verse 30, and then in verse 31, "Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Do not fear. Do not fear the one that can kill you. Fear instead God. Do not fear those individuals and what they may do to you, because God cares about you. God is aware of you. God will reward you. And because of who He is and the trust that we can place in Him, we can have that confidence that will bring endurance to the end. Now, as we draw our lesson to a close and offer an invitation this evening, we want you to be aware of the mercy and goodness of God. The fact that though man is steeped in sin, and that sin is the universal condition, that God is not unaware that God did not leave us without help. Instead, from the very beginning, He established in His mind and will a scheme or a plan for redeeming man. He sent His Son Jesus in the fullness of times. Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross, shed His blood as a sacrifice for our sins. He paid the penalty of death so that we might not of necessity die ourselves. We would not be separated from God for eternity. And He has given us an invitation. That invitation is to each and every man, each and every one who is here this evening. We respond to the power of the gospel by repenting of our sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized to have our sins washed away. Because of our faith in Jesus, we will be saved. That is the promise that He gives to each of us. Now, we don't know the hearts of any who are here this evening, but there may be some who would like to respond to that invitation this evening. If that is the case, we offer it to you. If there is any others who are here this evening that have faltered in some way or are simply in need of some spiritual encouragement or prayers, then the invitation is extended and offered to you as well. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you come. And come now, while together we stand while we sing.